Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
What's Guess the right what? Thing? I don't know.
It's Thanksgiving is almost upon us, and Christmas, Hanukkah, all those good things roll up after that. And so you will be starting to see more and more people on street corners, letters in your mailbox, people accosting you as you come out of stores, asking for contributions for one thing or another.
Okay.
Because it's that time of year.
It is true.
And so you got to figure out, what am I going to do with this?
And you also have to figure out who you're going to give to and who, how, what.
Well, that's part of the what am I going to do about this.
Okay.
You know, some people just absolutely refuse to give spontaneously. And I have heard people say, and on occasion I've said it myself, you know, thanks, but we do this and this and this at my church, and we have sort of a program for that, and so I give my money to that. I think somebody who really wants something to eat on the street would probably not have much sympathy with that response, and I understand that. But I also think people are feeling overwhelmed by the request, and so they may want to do something but have to figure out how to do what they want to do. So it maybe helps to think about it ahead of time.
Okay.
I am happy to, buy food for people, you know, when they ask. You know, miss, I haven't had anything to eat in a couple of days, or, you know, all day today. Can you give me a dollar so I can get a hamburger? It's like, well, you might get a hamburger, but it's not going to fill you up. Where I'm going into the grocery store, I'm happy to pick up, you know, a bigger sandwich for you or a bowl of something for you. Tell me what you want. Lots of times people will tell me. You know, one guy last week said, I don't really want a sandwich. Can I have a chicken? I'm like, a chicken? He goes, yeah, they have roast chickens in there. I said, sure, I'll bring you chicken. So he's probably going to make a couple of meals out of it. Although, interestingly enough, he followed me into the grocery store. I said, okay, pick your chicken. And he's like, well, you pick the chicken. You're in the grocery store. You probably know how to shop for food. You know what chicken looks like. Which one appeals to you? You pick the chicken. It's your chicken. So he picked the chicken, and as we went to the cash register so I could pay for it, he passed a six-pack of beer and lifted it up and said, sort of hopefully, can I have one of these too? I said, no, you may not. Give you other things if you want, but I'm not going to buy your beer for you. And he kind of grinned to put it down and said, oh, well. You know, he had to try. I had to tell him no. A lot of people will say, I will not pay for alcohol or drugs or lottery tickets. There is a school of thought that says if they're asking for money and you're going to give them money, you can't tell them what to spend it on. I don't know. I think that's a personal choice. But I think in a lot of cases, I can't not give anything, even though I know that doesn't do anything for the vast majority of people out there. But it's a personal transaction, and many times I do it.
And I think, you know, I think actually getting the item, because especially... especially in New York, you know, there are professional people who are out there all year round,
mm-hmm.
And then there are actual people in need, and you do have to be a little bit savvy so that you are, you're taking care of the people who actually need it rather than the people who like this is their livelihood, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
And actually offering the item is a real good way of making sure that your money is going towards what it should be,
mm-hmm.
But it's a toss up.
Well, it's hard to tell. There are also we're seeing more and more families who are asking for help, you know, and I think that people are finding it harder to walk on by if you've got, you know, a three-year-old by your side as you're holding up a sign saying, you know, family's hungry, needs help, or family needs to get to, you know, to a shelter or something. It's hard.
And again, you've got to, it's not that you should grow a case over your heart. You should just know what you can do, which again, it's worth thinking about. It's just absolutely worth thinking about. There, you know, I can throw in my mite here. There are people that, there are people that get helped all year round, and there are people who get extra help, or different people who get help at this time of year. And then there are people who don't get that. There are, you know, on the, it's a long list, but there are people who aren't at the top of it.
Well, and you can give to, you know, shelters. Here in L.A., we're starting to see stories, you know, local news stories about how shelters are gearing up to deal with Thanksgiving, with Christmas, and inevitably, every year, somebody who runs a shelter says, we are grateful for having these things, but the need is present all year long. And so we get a lot of people who want to, he didn't say indulge, but that's kind of what he meant, you know, indulge in your interest in giving or helping out between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And frankly, you know, if we could save some of that goodwill and spread it out through the year, we'd be in much better shape. But what happens is we get inundated with people, including celebrities, who come and, you know, cut pie at Thanksgiving and ladle out gravy and, you know, hand out toys at Christmas. And that's a great thing to do, but we have three times as many people as we need, and sometimes it even turns into more of a burden than a help. And so what we need, what we would like to have, is people who can make do a volunteer presence. You know, can you do it once a month? You know, on the non-holiday months, that would be tremendously helpful. Or if you want to fundraise for us, that would be tremendously helpful. If you want to drop off, you know, a couple of cases of disposable diapers at the family shelter because they're expensive and people need them, that would be helpful. You know, I think if they can give a list of things, you know, not just one thing, but a list of things that they could use, I think people would probably hop on board with that.
Yeah, and I mean, the one benefit of being in a smaller area here is that you know what the local pantries are, you know what the need is, and there are obviously programs because everybody needs, and it's very easy to funnel those funnel what you can give to people who can get it to the most who can utilize and allocate it well. I remember also having my it's Thanksgiving, I'll go volunteer. This was, you know, decades ago. And learning at that time that they've got more people volunteering on Thursday or attempting to volunteer on Thursday, Thanksgiving Thursday, then they can, as you said, even fit in the kitchen. And what is needed is help year-round or at different times, not just that, you know, not just that moment and I would just say that there's a reason I say charity begins. You know, there are people who do give all year round, and there are people who don't give all year round, and there are people who need all year round. And you know, if you are one of those people who don't, it might be worth considering.
Yeah. The other thing is that there are, and there will always be, some kinds of disasters, natural or man-made, that occur where a great surge of help is needed. And I remember going to interview a group of Iranians at a Iranian center here in L.A. who were trying to put together contributions. This was about 10 years ago when they had a big earthquake in the country, and there was just so much need for everything, and they were trying to send things home. And so there was a big room where things were being sorted, and I was with this woman as she was going through stuff, and she said, you know, some of these things are things that people can use, you know, sweaters that are in good shape and socks and things that, you know, it's cold back there right now. My people need warm clothes. She said, the other thing we get is people just cleaning out their closets, not sorting anything. It's just good. It's out of my closet. And they give us things like this. That, excuse me. She picked up this, you know, it was basically a rag. It was a garment that had been a nice garment at one time that had a huge stain across it. And whatever the stain was made it, you know, sort of crumpled and drawn up. And it's like, that goes into the trash, not to, you know, people. Plus, they're going to have to spend money to send this stuff to Iran. And so relief people often tell you, contribute to a relief organization that's on the ground, give them money. They know what, you know, people need. They know how to get antibiotics in. They know how to get diapers in. They know how to get, you know, the things that people have to have that they no longer have access to. And it's a nice thought, but they, your old raincoat is not really what they need right now. So think about that as the season goes on, and when these tremendously disruptive things like earthquakes and tornadoes and things like that rip up communities, and they need to replace some of the things that they've lost.
Yeah, and that's compelling. You know, that's you've got. It's there are. And I want to be diplomatic about this, just going in a slightly different way. You know, there are unscrupulous sorts out there also.
Yeah. Donate junk and take the tax write-off. And I would say that if there's a difference in how this is done, the difference is maybe if this happens in your hometown. You know, if 4 miles away something has decimated a you know, a community, that there's been a flood or a flash fire or something, and there are groups of people and they're saying, you know, we need children's clothes, we need men's shoes, we need whatever. Well, you know where those are going to go, and you know that people can use them, and you don't have to pay X amount of money to box them up, put them on planes, and fly them out. That you can just take them across town or to whoever is who's coordinating this and say, you know, these are perfectly good clothes. I just sort of threw away the grungy ones, but my five-year-old just can't wear them anymore, and we're hoping that somebody else's five-year-old can, because they're warm and they're, you know, they're a good color, if that matters. And we thought a child would like to have them, and maybe that will help. You can certainly do that. And I would say if, for some reason, organizations overseas are saying, send us your clothes, I never hear that, though. I hear the opposite, which is, that stuff's expensive to fly over here. We could really use a check. We'll get it a lot closer to where we are and get it to them a lot more quickly.
Right. I do know, just as an example, this isn't overseas relief, but just with animals, you know, I used to, in the city, be a huge ASPCA donor, whatever they came calling. But when I came up here, there's easier, you know, there are local shelters that are absolutely in need of money that you know, it's the difference between
dog food.
Dog food.
A lot of money.
That's right. They need dog food. They need someone to come walk. They need someone to, you know, cat food, whatever. So I started reallocating. You know, once those two wires touched, in fact, you know, I reallocated. And I think that you make a really good point in terms of doing the right thing with whatever it is that you are going to give.
I have a friend who says he and his wife don't go out on New Year's Eve. That New Year's Eve is when they open a bottle of champagne and take out their checkbooks and say, okay, what kind of year has it been? We've been lucky. We want to pass it on. They decide that night, you know, where they want to apply their help for the coming year, and they write out a check and toast each other and go to bed. It sounds like a good tradition. And it doesn't, you don't have to have a ton of money to do it, but it's nice to be able to do it to the degree that you can, if you can, and help out.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.